You know, I think that's a pretty good practice for us. Just to be aware of what is coming off of our lips. That there's power in the tongue. I'll steal Tony Evans' words out of his study. Let him be Lord of your lips. Because there can be evil in your esophagus. How's that? You know, this morning as we jump into God's Word, I want to remind you that last week we began a new series titled, We're All Leaking. And last week we saw where it all begins. We begin to leak, as a body of believers, we begin to leak that with which we are most filled. And so our goal should be to create margin. You know what margin is? Our goal is to create space, to be filled with one thing and one thing alone, and that is to become filled with the Spirit. And as we become filled with the Spirit, we are all filled with the same Spirit. So none of us have any more or any less power from the Spirit. But the question then becomes not how much of the Spirit we have, but how much of the Spirit has us. And so that's where we ended last week. And if you notice, when we are filled with the Spirit, we look different, we sound different. Last week we saw them, after being filled with the Spirit, they addressed each other with spiritual songs, psalms, and making melody in their heart to the Lord. There was praise coming off of their lips after being filled with the Spirit. And so when we find moments in our life where things are just not going well, our speech doesn't sound so good, our attitudes are in the dumps, that is usually because of a spiritual condition. Not so much based on the circumstances around us. And so this week, you have had a whole week after last week of hearing God's Word, letting it soak in and sink in. We have had a whole week to become filled with the Spirit. Anybody ever watch Dr. Phil? Is that still a show? Is it still on the air? I don't know. If I was Dr. Phil, this is the moment in the show where I'd pull you up real close to me and look at you and say, how's that working out for you? You've had a whole week, and I've had a whole week to create space to become filled with the Spirit. Well, how's that working out for you? Anybody have any trials this week? Don't answer that yet. Somebody was ready to answer it. Before we answer that question, I want us to open our Bibles to the book of Galatians. The book of Galatians is where we'll be. But before we get into the text, I want to show you a picture of something so that I can help illustrate what is going on in Galatians chapter 4. So let's go ahead and look at this picture. This is a children's toy. So if it comes up on the screen, there we go. What is that? Mr. Potato Head. Anybody still have a Mr. Potato Head? I should have got you bring it. Could put it right here. Mr. Potato Head. The beauty of Mr. Potato Head is this, whenever you get it all put together correctly. How many of you guys wanted and desired to put Mr. Potato Head together correctly? Just a few. Good. If you did, you could be one of the people in this text today. You could be a Judaizer. That's fun. I'm not trying to call you a name, but how many of you wanted to stick something where it didn't belong? Good, Levi. You stick an eye in an ear hole so Mr. Potato Head suddenly doesn't look so good anymore. Looks like he's having a bad day. Stick his feet on top of his head for his hat. Oh, that's fun. Then he can st- stand on his head, so to speak. Why is it important that we talk about Mr. Potato Head in Scripture today? Because I think that we have said it before, maybe you've heard me say it before. But these people in Galatians chapter 4, and the whole book of Galatians actually, they are struggling with the idea of these Jewish Christians that are so set, so incredibly fixed on doing the law, on obeying the law, that they are missing the gospel. They were called Judaizers. And you see, as the gospel of the good news of what Jesus Christ did on the cross began to spread to these early churches, there was this group of Jewish Christians that came along and said, nope, you can't do it that way because there's this thing called the law. And if you don't follow the law, if you don't do it right, if you don't do it in this way, then you will not be justified on the last day. You will not stand before the Lord you will not stand before God and be considered as justified. So this was their way to salvation. For these Judaizers, this was obedience to the law was their way to salvation. And see, they missed completely the gospel of what Jesus did on the cross. What is this law in Galatians that we have to deal with? In this specific book, in Galatians, we are dealing with the requirements for the Gentile people that they observe circumcision, observe Jewish holy days, which we'll read about in just a moment, and observe dietary restrictions. That was in the book of Galatians, the section of the law that they were most concerned about. There's more to the law. If you do some more reading, yes, you will find more laws to uphold. But in the specific text that we are in, the Judaizers needed them to observe circumcision, observe Jewish holy days, and observe dietary restrictions. Otherwise, they would not be counted as saved. They would not be counted as saved. So why don't we stand together this morning as we read? And I want you to turn to Galatians chapter 1 as we start. Galatians chapter 1, verse 8 and verse 9 is where we'll begin. It says, "But even if we, or an angel from heaven, should preach to you a gospel contrary to what we have preached to you, he is to be accursed. As we have said before, so I say again now, if any man is preaching to you a gospel contrary to what you received, he is to be accursed." These baby churches, I say that because they're young in their development. These emerging churches were struggling with a different gospel message that was coming from these Judaizers. They were saying you had to obey the law. Paul is saying they are to be accursed. Listen very carefully to their message and compare it to what you have been taught. Now let's turn over to Galatians chapter 4. No, I will not have you stand for the whole service. Galatians chapter 4, I want you to start in verse 1. "Now I say, as long as the heir is a child, he does not differ at all from a slave, although he is owner of everything. But he is under guardians and managers until the date set by the father. So also we, while we were children, were held in bondage under the elemental things of the world. But when the fullness of time came, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, so that he might redeem those who are under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. Because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, 'Abba, Father.' Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God. However, at that time, when you did not know God, you were slaves to those which by nature are no gods. But now that you have come to know God, or rather to be known by God, how is it that you turn back again to the weak and worthless elemental things, to which you desire to be enslaved all over again? You observe days and months and seasons and years. I fear for you that perhaps I have labored over you in vain." Father, thank you for today and for your divine word. Father, we don't ever want to approach Scripture without asking for the help of the Holy Spirit to fill us so that we might see Scripture for what it is, that we might not put something in there to satisfy our own desire, but God, that we would be obedient to how you would have us to interpret Scripture and read it and internalize it. Father, we give this time to you. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. You may be seated. So you see, as we have built a little bit of a case for what is going on in the book of Galatians, these Christians, these early church-going Christians in the book of Galatians are experiencing a trial. And that trial being a different gospel being preached to them. Because now they have a choice to make. Oh, did I ask the question already? Did any of you have any trials this week? How'd that go? Well, let me tell you, this week we will celebrate the 4th of July. And usually on that day, there is more barbecue cooked than any other holiday that I can think of. Right? It's summertime. It's hot. You don't want to heat your kitchen up. You don't want to make the house hot. It's just easier to go out and fire up the grill. Maybe you like gas. Maybe you like charcoal. It doesn't matter. But I know all of you are the pit masters of your own home, right? If you like to barbecue, you like to cook on a grill, what is one of the first things that you do before you ever start the fire? You prepare whatever it is you're going to cook. If it's a steak or a piece of meat, what do you do with it? You prepare it. You tenderize it, maybe. Anybody ever used a meat tenderizer? It looks like some kind of a ancient medieval weapon. And the first time I saw that, I would look and I was like, what in the world? Meat tenderizer. Now, you can cheat. You can take a seasoning, like a meat tenderizer, and you can pour it on your meat and just sit back and wait. Right? Just sit back and watch. Or you can take the meat tenderizer and what? Oh, that's not good enough. Flip it. Right? Same result. Maybe even better results. And it's stress relieving. Why? Why does it matter? Because like a meat tenderizer, Paul has taken out and taken this church and their members to task in the book of Galatians. And sometimes we get trials in the form of seasoned meat tenderizer, where we just, it's a trial and we get to put some trial in our life and then sit back and look and watch and wait for God to work. And sometimes those trials take a long time to develop into what God would have them to be. And then other times there is these trials that come along and it's like, oh, it hurts a little bit. It's painful and it changes the trajectory of the meat and it changes me and it changes you. And then we get to respond very quickly to what God is doing in our life because we don't want to be under that anymore. Paul has taken the Galatians to task like a meat tenderizer. These early churches, these baby churches. I want you to go back to chapter 3, verse 23, and I want you to kind of look with me as we build the case for what's going on. Remember, he's talking to these churches in chapter 3, 23, verse 23. He says, but before faith came, we were kept in custody under the law. There's that word, being shut up to the faith, which was later to be revealed. Before faith came, before the activity on the cross through Jesus Christ, we were under the law. But now that faith has come, it was going to be revealed later. We are not shut up anymore. Read verse 25 through 29. It says, but now that faith has come, we are no longer under a tutor. For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For all of you were baptized into Christ, have clothed yourself with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female. You are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's descendants, heirs according to the promise. He's telling them, you are not held in custody anymore by the law. We have an opportunity to be adopted into the fellowship of God. You do not have to be held custody. Now, you think about that term and you think about something really negative, being held in custody, like behind a prison cell or something. Well, we're holding him in custody. It's not really how that word is to be thought of in this particular text. This is like a guardian. Not a bad thing. The law was not a bad thing. It was like a guardian, like somebody to give guidance and to guard and to keep safe the people of God. And so the law acted like guardrails for the people. They had law. They had people that didn't want to follow the law. And so there were guardrails, just like we have today. This is not your get-out-of-jail-free card to not obey our laws, which are different. We must submit to the laws that are around us. I understand that. That's why there are speeding or signs for speed to tell you what speed to go on the highway that are being moved all over Jack County. I'm going to get a ticket one day. I know it. I have to follow the law, okay? It is like a guardrail for me. If I don't follow the law, there are repercussions to that. But Paul is saying, now that faith has come along, now that the activity of the cross has been finished, and Jesus has done his work and finished his work on the cross, there is something better. There is something new. Now let's go to chapter 4. It says, now I say, furthermore, as I keep going, as I keep adding to this idea, now I say, as long as the heir is a child, he does not differ at all from a slave, although he is owner of everything. But he is under guardians, there's that word, and managers until the day set by the Father. So also we, while we were children, were held in bondage, under the elemental things of the world. We were held in bondage. We were held captive. We were guarded by this law. No doubt, verses 1, 2, and 3 are statements about the law. And then we get to verse 4. And I love whenever Scripture gives me conjunctions, because we can make a big deal out of conjunctions. Sometimes there is and, sometimes there is but, sometimes there is or. We get to make a big deal out of Scripture. Verse 4, but when the fullness of time came, when the episode and event of the cross came, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman. Listen to this, born under the law. This is before Christ had done His work. Mary had not experienced Christ on the cross yet. She was born under the law. But he came, in verse 5, so that he might redeem those who are under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. Now, I want to make a big deal out of a couple of words here. The word redeem in verse 5. The word redeem. In this particular culture, in this particular time, there were slave people, and that any slave could be sold in the marketplace and be given to a new master. As long as they had the money to buy the slave, they could buy them. They could redeem a slave. They were bought with a price. Slaves were bought with a price. We have been bought with a price. So that he, with a capital H, Jesus Christ, through God, might redeem, might buy us, those of us who were under the law. We were bought with His blood so that we don't have to be under the law, that we might receive. Now we're going to look at the word receive. Because we were bought with a price, there is something due to us. There is something that is coming to us. We might receive the adoption as sons. Because we were bought by Jesus Christ's blood, we have an opportunity and something that is coming to us if we have our faith in Christ, that we will be adopted. Adopted. That might be a difficult word for some of us, because adoptions don't always go so well. But let me tell you that there is a God that rules over heaven and earth and everything in the earth and everything under the earth. There is a God that exists that wants to adopt you. And He is a loving and just and kind and fair and righteous God. And He wants to adopt you through the blood of His Son, Jesus, so that you and I might be adopted. But keep going. Verse 8. However, at that time when you did not know God, when you were still under the law, when you did not know God, or rather to be known by God. That's a confusing piece of text. Because somebody might come along and say, well, doesn't God already know us? Doesn't God already know me? So why do I have to be known by God? Well, there's a difference between me knowing you, knowing of you, knowing that you exist, and there would be a difference with me knowing what your middle name is. There would be a difference between me knowing that you exist and me knowing what your favorite food is. There would be a difference between me knowing that you exist and knowing how many hairs are on your head, which is less and less by the day. This is an issue of intimacy. When you did not know God, but now, verse 9, that you have come to know God, or rather to be known by God. It's not that we come to know God, but God comes to know us intimately. I think that's such a critical distinction. Because you can know God exists all day long. Even the demons believe that. But until God knows you intimately, you are not known by God. How is it that you turn back again to the weak and worthless elemental things? Why, church? Why, Church of Galatia? Why are you snapping back to the law? You keep turning back to these weak and worthless elemental things. In verse 9, to which you desire to be enslaved all over again. He's saying you have been set free from the slavery of the law. You have been set free through the blood of Jesus Christ. And yet, we still, as a church, go back to the elementary and worthless things of the law. Because we like playing church. Look at verse 10. You observe days and months and seasons and years. Remember one of those things that they were talking about, that the law that they wanted, the Judaizers wanted, that had to be done so that you'd be justified? Observance of religious days, religious holy days, right? If you don't observe these days and these years and these months and all of the things that come along with them, you will not be considered justified one day. You will be considered lost. And this church is snapping back and they're going back to those things. I happened across this morning Brother Don's Sunday school class, and their door was open, And I love when I go by their class and somebody makes a point that I can use in the sermon. It's a divine appointment for me and those words coming out of their mouth. Thank you. Here's the thing. What I heard was, we get so caught up in no less words, we get so caught up in trying to bring people into the church when the church should be taking what we have to them. Coming in this building and doing religious activity is not enough. We have snapped back to the law. And we become so super religious that we forget that there is a lost and broken and hurting world that we should be advancing the kingdom to. I think it's funny if you read scripture and look at the Judaizers and all of the laws that they had to uphold. Even they broke the law. Because nobody can keep all of the laws. Sinful as we are. Then we get to verse 11. I fear for you that perhaps I have labored over you in vain. This is every pastor's nightmare. I fear, Paul says, that I have labored over you. Because this is not the first time this church has been addressed either by him personally or by his friends on his missionary journeys. I fear, he says, I have labored over you in vain. That'll keep you up at night. But let me take it out of the realm of the church just for a moment. When I went to East Texas Baptist University, and I was just getting started with college, there was a class, and no, I did not attend, but it was for incoming freshmen. There was a class that the school had put together. The administration of the school thought it so incredibly important that they put a class together for students that were coming to college and parents that were coming to let their kids go off to college. You know what the class was called? I think this was pretty snappy. Snazzy. Issues and tissues is what they called it. No, I did not attend. No, I did not send my parents. Issues and tissues. Why did they have to make such a class? Because one day they understood that the day was coming when parents would be bringing their children, who are not children anymore, to a university, to a foreign land, and dropping them off and putting them in the rearview mirror and waving goodbye. And then there would be issues and there would be some tissues needed. Now, one day, Lord willing, that day will come for me and Brandy with our own two children. I am not looking forward to it. Because I will probably cry like a baby. And Brandy will have to console me and drive me home. But here's the thing. We get to this point with our children where and what do parents always say when they're leaving their children at the university? Well, I hope I raised them right. Because the raising is done. You don't ever get to stop being their parent, but your grip on them as a parent has become loose. And you say things like, I hope I have raised them right, or something else, maybe, perhaps, that we might say. I hope they hang on to everything we tried to teach them. But inevitably, because we are sinful and because we are broken, sometimes we snap back to the world. And then parents, their response changes. Not I hope they hang on to, or not I hope I raise them. It turns into I didn't raise them that way. You ever heard that? I didn't raise them that way. I hope all of our hard work pays off one day. And Paul says in verse 11, I fear that perhaps I have labored over you in vain. Because he has this young, emergent church full of believers that are waffling back and forth between should we follow the law or should we be obedient to God through the gospel of Christ and the work on the cross. Now I don't know. And Paul's saying, remember in verse 9, you turned back again to the weak and worthless elemental things to which you desire to be enslaved all over again. You're putting yourself in a position, church, to become slaves to the law. We have to do this, we have to do this, we have to follow this, and the list will just get on and on and on. I call this a rubber band church. You ever have a rubber band tied around something? Perfect. Your dad has a rubber band on his wallet. Good. Let's do it. Okay? Wallet. Okay? Put a rubber band on it. Not going anywhere. Paul comes into the picture as this church has a rubber band and a grip on the law. He says, you are free from being enslaved to the law, and that rubber band gets pulled out. And now there's some space. There's some space for the church to breathe and some air to come into the church and give life to the church. And Paul leaves. And that's why he's having to write this letter to them. Because now that the influence of Paul and his friends and his missionary friends is gone, the church has snapped back and they are closed. And the rubber band has tightened again. And now there is no life and no air and no space for the church to grow and breathe. Why did we go through all this trouble today to talk about the law and the gospel? And this is a peculiar passage of Scripture. Did you catch the passage of Scripture that we didn't read yet? Let's go back to verse 6. Remember, on the heels of verse 5, so that he might redeem those, he bought us with the price who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. And look at verse 6. Because you are sons, God has sent forth what? The Spirit. Capital S, the third person of the Trinity, the least talked about entity of the Trinity. He sent it to you and to me and to the church in Galatia. He sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your heart, into my heart. And that's not the physical pump that pumps blood through our body. That is our entire being. He sent it to us in its fullness to fill our entire being. Crying, Abba, Father. Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God. Why, as believers, have we forgotten this? That we were gifted the Spirit. We have been gifted the Spirit. We have been bought with a price through Jesus Christ, and we have been gifted the Holy Spirit so that we might be sons and daughters of the King. How have we forgotten this? Because we like rubber bands. We want to snap back to the world. We want to snap back to the law. We want to snap back to being religious and become so focused on filling the inside of the building that the outside of the building and everybody out there perishes. What will you be filled with this week? The law and religious activity, or the Spirit and kingdom advancement. To your question in Sunday school, I say yes. He said, why don't we set up at the next big event and just start loving on people and giving things away and advancing the kingdom? Yes, and yes, and yes again. Let's do that, church, because we are free in Christ. We are free when we are filled with the Spirit. Yes, we're leaking. Are we going to be leaking the law and the world? Or are we going to be leaking the Spirit and the freedom that comes from that? Let's pray. Father, as we have looked at a difficult passage of Scripture, if you were just to look at it and glance at it, Father, I pray that we have handled it with such great care that we might truly understand that we are not to be a people if we are in Christ. We are not to be a people that are slaves to the law, that are slaves to our religious activity. But Father, we are free in the Spirit. We are free to give life to the community, to the body, to the kingdom. We are free to give life if we are full of the Spirit, because we have been given the Spirit. And it doesn't say we have been given a portion now and we'll be given a portion later and then at the end of our life we'll be filled. No, you didn't work that way. And God, we thank you that when you gave us the Spirit, you gave us every last drop of the Spirit. So, Father, as we are convicted this week to advance the kingdom, as we are convicted this week to love in action, Father, would we let love win? Would we let the Spirit overfill us to where we leak love? Father, it's going to be a challenge, so we give this to you. Would you be with these next few moments as we surrender to you, as we make decisions about how we will advance the kingdom through you, and we give you the praise. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Would you stand with us this morning as we sing? Brother Travis and I will be here. If you need to come and pray, if you need to come and sit at this altar and pray, figure out what it looks like for you to advance the kingdom this week, you come. You come.
I hear the Savior say, thy strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray, find in me thine all in all. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, he washed it white as snow. Lord, now indeed I find thy power and thine alone can change a leper's spots and melt a heart of stone. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, he washed it white as snow. to save. My lips shall still repeat. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, he washed it white as snow. Sin had left a crimson stain, he washed it white as snow.
An exciting time to be a part of the church. Last week we had a salvation, and we've had a salvation from, what do we call that, Awana, from Wednesday nights in the school year. And Alistair, many of you guys know, she made a decision to follow Christ two and a half years ago. And she comes this morning saying she wants to be baptized as well. And so that's an exciting thing. And it's going to be a really neat time as we experience all these baptisms together. We're trying to get them all scheduled together. And I'm really looking forward to that service. So continue to be praying. I know God is doing some really good things in and through the church, in and through his people at Live Oak. And so I'm looking forward to that. Why don't we do this? Why don't we have a seat for just a minute? We'll look at a few announcements. And I know many of you guys might know this about Alistair. She might be a little shy. She might have a shy bone in her body. So I'm not going to let her stand up here in front of you just yet. But just be praying for her and be grateful and thankful that she's come and said, I want to be baptized. And so that's exciting, and that's life-giving to the church, and I'm looking forward to that. So you guys stay where you're at, take a look at these announcements, and I'll be right back. Good morning, church family. Thank you so much for being a part of our service at Live Oak, where we love God, love people, and advance the kingdom. I really hope we nailed these announcements today. And I hope you like what you hear. I hope you'll be a part of more of our activities as we finish up the summer. Thank you again for being a part of our service, and have a great week.
If you ordered a church t-shirt, they are ready for pickup in the foyer. Small through extra large are $10 each, and 2X and up are $13 each. Our 3D Family Weekend is just around the corner, August 3rd through the 5th. Registration is open online at lobc.family. We encourage you to begin inviting friends and family to join us. A 3D Family Weekend Workers Appreciation Lunch will be Sunday, July 22nd, following the morning worship service. You will also receive information and details on the upcoming weekend's events. Don't miss it. The adult class during the 3D weekend is Your Comeback. Your past doesn't have to determine your future, by Tony Evans. Child care for babies through pre-K is provided for all of those participating in the class. Begin inviting friends and family to attend. There is a 3D donation in the foyer. Please take an item or items off the board that you would be able to donate and write your name beside the item on the clipboard.
Thank you.
Have a great week, and remember, love God, love people, and advance the kingdom.
Don't encourage me. That just makes it worse. All right. But now everybody will remember. Yeah, thank you. Even better. Now everybody will remember where the board is and how to make the board work. And I'm looking forward so much to our family weekend. It is going to be a fantastic weekend. And I hope we really can advance the kingdom. We can love God, we can love people, and we can advance the kingdom. So here's what I want to do. I want you guys to stand. You guys are okay just being right there, aren't you? I bet you are. All right, good. Go ahead and stand with me. Let's have a word of prayer, and then we'll be dismissed. Father, thank you again for another opportunity to be with your people. Father, to look at your word. Father, I pray that as we go through the week this week, that we would be mindful of the kingdom opportunities that we have around us, that we would be aware of the influence that we have by the speech that comes out of our mouth, Father, by the praise that comes off of our lips, Father, by the advancement of the kingdom through being free in the Spirit and full of the Spirit. Father, these are things that are life-giving. So, Father, help us to give life to people around us this week. Thank you again for Alistar and her wanting to come and be baptized to help accentuate and help define and show her decision to follow you. Father, I thank you for your people. Thank you again for this morning, for allowing us to be together as a body. We love you. We give you this morning and this day. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.